Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sight and Vision. Today is January 7th, 2022. Yes, our first show of the year, and our illustrious host must have gotten caught in the snow, quite a bit of snow in the DMV, also known as the District, Maryland, and Virginia. Oh, there he is, sliding into his seat and ready to take over the reins of Sight and Vision's first show of 2022. Welcome, Rev.
Greetings and welcome to Sight and Vision Disability Senior Talk Radio Show, a show about disability rights, disability services, and your disability dollar. Your voice and advocate. Voice your concerns, voice your opinions, but please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that can change your life for the better, which is inclusion into society, living more independently in your home and in your community. America, welcome to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, your friendly neighborhood networker. Our motto is increase your network and you'll increase your net worth. And behind microphone number two is the hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. Again, welcome our listening audience. This is Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Radio Show. Again, I am your host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor. Although I've been blind for more than 55 years, when I was a mere lad of 13, a big firecracker, which is a cherry bomb in the DMV, that's the District, Maryland and Virginia, exploded and blinded me in both eyes. But in spite of that, every morning I rise, I feel blessed, highly favored, and I know God is good. Greetings and how are you today, Ms. Renee?
Well, Reverend Ray, I'm pretty excited about starting the new year, 2022. I mean, it just has a ring to it. 2022. So I'm looking forward to 2022.
And I'm looking forward to it also. In September of this year, we will be celebrating together Sight and Vision 10th anniversary.
Wow.
And I'm hoping in September we'll be able to do this from a physical event. Well, we'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary with some past guests and some awards and some giveaways and door prizes. So we're hoping to celebrate our 10th anniversary of me and Ms. Renee being on the air with Sight and Vision Radio. It's hard to believe, but in September it will be our 10th anniversary. All righty, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. But anyway, Ms. Renee, what is the show about today?
Well, for 10 years, we have been bringing you the adventures of Mr. Ray and his seeing eye dog. And his current seeing eye dog is Ms. Raven. And we've still been talking about in the news, the good, the bad, and yes, the ugly, news which affects the disability and senior communities. And then as we sign off, you always have a call to action, teaching us with this show that it's important not just to be content with where you are, but what can you do to move the disability community forward? What can you do to move the senior community forward? What can you do to move your community forward? So that, and
oh.
You want me to tell you what we're going to do today?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, one of my favorite features is our end of the year recap of things that have happened this past year. So today we are going to do a 2021 year-end review of our guests and the information they provided to our listeners.
Oh, all right. That sounds exciting.
It is.
So is it over to me yet, Ms. Renee?
You know what, Rev? You know, I guess I have to get my sea legs back under me. Give me a couple of weeks off at the end of the year, and I've forgotten the order of the show. So, Rev, back over to you for the adventures of Mr. Ray and Ms. Raven.
All righty. Welcome, listeners. You know I like to start the show with the adventures of Reverend Ray and his German Shepherd, seeing that dog, Miss Raven, that dog of wonder. And I want to thank our sponsor, the Big Bad Wolf, for sponsoring us. And I think they've been with us almost. They've been with us for a while. They're our oldest sponsor. And we want to thank Miss Penny, the proprietor of Big Bad Wolf Pet Store. And they're located in Tacoma Park, Maryland, and their phone number is 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. You can go on the website at thebigbadwolf.com, and the wolf is spelled W-O-O-F, a wolf. And we want to thank them for providing my last two guide dogs that they've been with us, Mr. Raytico and Miss Raven that I have now. And I want to thank the folks at the Big Bad Wolf. And you can also go online. You can call, and they will drop your food off to you for your pets. They have top-of-the-shelf pet food for your dog, for your cat, for the little journals that's running around in those little cages. And Miss Renee say that's why she don't like just walking around a track, because she feel like a journal or something walking around just going nowhere in the same circle. So, but all type of pet food they have, and like I say, top shelf pet food, top shelf. So give them a call, 202-747-3434, The Big Bad Wolf. Now, the adventures, I just want to recommend Raven to get her dental work this week. And I want to recommend again how important it is to have a health and wellness plan for you. And I'm specifically speaking to persons that have service animals, because service animals is different from having a pet. A service animal, you have to depend on that service animal to assist you for your quality of life. All right, so it's not a pet that you can give it any type of, you know, scrap food. It can just hang outside in all kind of bad weather. You don't groom it well, but a service animal is going to be assisting you. Your very life can depend on it. So you need to have a wellness plan, just like you have a health plan for yourself, and get regular checkups and all. And you'll be reminded by your provider, you know, when the different shots are need to be done, when you go in annually. It takes a lot off of your scheduling in terms of you have to remember. But your service animal will be well cared for. So Reverend Ray, for a long time, did not have a plan, and it did not bode well, because when something did happen, the kind of money it costs to take you, and it doesn't cover long term, and that's another kind of insurance. But in terms of having a service animal, I suggest that you definitely look into, and I won't say any specific health plan, but we will have someone come on this year to talk about a wellness plan as well as a long-term health plan for your service animal or pet. We didn't do that this year or last year, but we will have someone come on. So anyway, that is covers, like I said, we can't do an adventure right now. We can do either suggestions, information, or tips. So that's some information, and that is from the adventures of Reverend Ray and this German Shepherd seeing that dog, Miss Raven, that dog of wonders. And again, sponsored by our long-term and longest sponsor, the Big Bad Wolf. So please check out their website, thebigbadwolf.com, and that wolf is W-O-O-F, Wolf, Wolf. Back over to microphone number two, our hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee.
Well, thank you, Reverend. Today, we are going to do a 2021 year-end review of our guests and the information that they provided to you, our listeners. And just as Reverend Ray said, that our purpose is to give you information that you can use. So, Reverend Ray, last January we had Kathy Gosselin was here to represent the NFB Newsline. And it tells us how blind and print disabled can keep on top of the news. Including emergency weather information. And I know you've shared this story before, but it used to be that when the weather emergencies came on the radio or the television, there was just this beeping sound. Tell me, as a consumer, what did that feel like to you?
I feel like, Ms. Renee, that I did not know what was going on other than something was beeping. So I didn't know what was going on outside or anything. So it was very important that we are working with the FCC, and they have been working with us and with the various networks to be able to put on audio description to let us know what those beep beeps mean, because we don't know beep beep mean, grab a beverages and toast the new year, or just grab what you got to grab and get out of your house. So that has been a work in progress with the networks.
Okay, well, we're going to skip right on over into February. Now, if someone from
let me say one other thing that I saw a notification I got today, an email, that the NFB Newsline is going to be sponsoring a training along with Victor Screen Reader, the people that provide Victor Screen Reader, which is HumanWare. And Victor Screen Reader is a device about the size, I hate to use the pack of cigarettes, but everybody know that, about the size of a pack of cigarettes, and it's like, for a better description, like a little mini computer that you can hold in your hand. And this month, NFB, that sponsored Newsline, is going to have someone do a training on how you use your Victor Screen Reader to access the Newsline. And they got over 500 different newspapers and all the kind of information, that you would need that you could access at the computer and all. So they're going to be doing a training of that this month. Okay.
Oh, so that's good.
I just wanted to mention that. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, before we go into February, we're going to go to our break. You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Okay, Reb. So last February, well, let's put it this way. If someone from another country came to the U.S. during Black History Month, they might think that there are only two famous black people, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Rosa Parks. And our guest last year, Maceo Thomas, who is a walking compendium of Black history facts, some known and some well less known, he told us that Black History Month is so much more, and that it, even though it falls in the shortest month, and it's not, wasn't assigned because of the shortest month, that it's so important for us to increase our knowledge about known and lesser known Black history facts. You were a part of that and asked him to come on. Why did you think that was important, Rev?
Well, because as you say, Ms. Renee, we only know a handful of African Americans or Black folks like Martin Luther King and all that, but we need to know our history better, that there were so many other figures that has made our progress in the United States what we have today in terms of employment, careers, housing. A matter of fact, today, one of the first Black, and I won't say African American, but Black men died at 94 years old, that we all know.
Sidney Poitier.
What's his name? Sidney Poitier. Yes, and you know, he was the first Black that kissed a woman, a white woman, in, on film. He was the first Black to, you know, win an Oscar. So, and those kind of individuals we know of, but there's a lot of, for every one of him, there's thousands other Blacks and African-American and persons of color that contribute to our history. I mean, you know, and the brother Mayfield from Chicago and shared some of that history with us, and we just have to dig in our history and find and know of the you know, those other Black individuals that contribute so much to this society. Now, unfortunately, the way the system runs, or the way the system was, when Black invented a lot of things, because we were not in a position to get patents, we don't have our name or their name on these different things, like the gentleman with the traffic light. Now, who was that? Morgan? Or something.
Right. Yes.
And,
uh-huh.
And right. And then you know, the gentleman that helped with blood plasma, Charles Drew. So a lot of this we don't know. So we have to be responsible, Ms. Renee, and be upon us, not McDonald's when they celebrate or sponsor during Black History Month. You know, when you go get a Big Mac or a meal or whatever, and you know, there's a Black figure that they think is important on your soda container. You know, it's up to the Black community to be able to keep alive not just 28 days, but 365 days a year. And just a little something about Black History Month. When you say it's the shortest month, and you know, we bring that up and say, well, why would they give Blacks the shortest month to celebrate? And one of the deacons, associate of mine, said, well, Reverend Ray, what I tell them is that it don't take Black folks that much time to get things done. So we don't need 30 or 31 days. And I say, I'm going to use that Deacon Robinson.
Well, you know, I think it is important for our children to hear about Garrett Morgan. And right now the schools are roiling with the 1619 project. There's a lot of controversy because we want to make history more reflective of what it really looked like, as opposed to the sanitized version. The only times Blacks had a key role in history, in my experience, was when we talk about the period of enslavement. and there is so much more. Well, I want to move on to the second guest that we had in February. Now, COVID-19 has changed so the way we do almost everything, including grocery shopping, and our guest is Todd Tolson, and he was the CEO of Grocery by Phone, although we call him the door-to-door grocer. He takes the mystery out of using his grocery delivery system. And you used it, Rev. How did it work, and what did you like about it?
Well, a couple of things. For a person with disability, and, of course, I'm totally blind, but for a person with disability, and during COVID, that this was a great time to have this service. And during COVID, a lot of persons, of course, you know, with going out to the stores and all physically and having a disability, usually have an underlying medical issue. So we have to be very, very careful. So to be able to call someone and not just a service that's tied to a computer that this impersonal person, but Brother Todd Tolson, he actually a real person, talks to you, takes your grocery list, put it in a computer, get to know you personally. The people that he have go shopping for you, they are vetted and also you know, go through a police clearance, so you can be comfortable that the person that's going to bring the grocery to your home, that you could trust them. And for blind, for people with disability, one of the biggest concerns is having people take advantage of us, especially if you're blind. You know, having someone in your home that you're not familiar with might have to read something to you. You might want to give them a tip or whatever, and they can assist you with coming in and helping to put your groceries up, which many of them do do that. So to have a service like that and to be able to just pick the phone up and call someone that someone that almost becomes like a friend to you, to go over your list, get your groceries for you, have them sent to you the next day. And, you know, and there's a lot of situations where if you have a problem with your grocery and or something not on the list that you don't, you know, that they don't have, they will call you and let you know what they do have. And if you have a problem in terms of something being bruised or being damaged, they will right on the spot rectify that situation for you and make it satisfactory for you. So in the disability community, that is a great service. And of course, we know that that companies like Amazon and Uber Eats and all have really increase their service and businesses, you know, hundreds of fold because of COVID. But the people with disabilities, with Mr. Todd Tolson, boy, we was right on it before it became necessary to have door to door service. You know, so it is a wonderful service.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is a wonderful service. So now we're in the month of March, and the Americans with Disability Act requires all programs, activities, and services of the state and local government to be accessible. And each state implements that in a different way. And our guest was Denise Schuller, and she is from the Maryland Technology Assistance Program, known as MTAP. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe some of the services that MTAP offered and why it's important to blind, low vision, and persons with disabilities?
Yeah, and this is a wonderful program. And I, fortunately or unfortunately, had to use the program. And I say unfortunately because my technology, which is a Braille and Speak, which is a screen, which is a note taker, a Braille note taker, went on the blitz, and I had to get a new one. But if you are working or this is something that you need, and most people would look at it like a computer or their phone where they keep their addresses in, keep their daily schedule in, that's what a note take is. So that's very important for a blind person or a person with a other type of hand disabilities. And so when mine went on the blitz, well, I couldn't wait, you know, 2 months or 2 weeks to send it in and get it repaired and stuff. So through the advocation of a number of disability groups and all, they got this program that's mandated that can be put, that can be in the different states where they call it TAP, T-E-P, Technology Assistance Program, where you can borrow various equipment from them to use while you even waiting for your current, your existing machine or device to get fixed, or you know, thinking about purchasing a device that suits your needs. So they have various different devices for blind and person with disability to use. So that's a very good program. Like I say, fortunately or unfortunately, I had to use the program, and they have those programs in every state of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm going to combine our next two guests. They were in April. One was Amber Woods, and she is an advocate. She is on the board of Living Independently for Everyone. She works in employment, and she is also the president of a local chapter of the National Federation of the Blind. And our other guest was Michelle Clark, and she describes herself as such. She says that she had checked all the boxes. She'd gotten an education, check. Good job, check. Nice home, check. And then life gave her another box to check off, coping with blindness. You have these two women to come on separately to talk about their experience in becoming blind and also how they became advocates and worked actively in the blind community. And so my question is, why is it important to get actively involved in the blind community, and how do you go about that?
Well, Ms. Renee, you know, also one thing that Ms. Michelle Clark always say, ask us because it's about us. And I say that to say, if you not at the table of decision-making, then you have other people making decisions for you. And so often in minority groups, may they be color, racial, this case, a person with disability, there's other people making decisions for you if you're not involved. So, you know, so just about every organization of person with disability, may it be blind, mentally challenged or physically challenged, you have a advocacy group that knows that it's important to advocate for yourself. And so one of the first things is to try to get you to become part of a local, state, or national advocacy group for you at the table to talk about your housing needs, your education, the employment, independent living. And it's just so important that you become involved, because like I say, if you're not at the table expressing your desires and your concerns, then somebody else is making a decision for what you. And I just tell you a little funny side joke. In National Federation of the Blind, at their national conventions, usually the president will read a list of the different grants that have been given to so-called sighted people or TABs, you know, people, TABs, we call them temporarily able-bodied person, because if you live long enough, you will become, have a disability. But the president would read a list of grants that was given that didn't make sense, not given to the organization or the community that these grants was meaning for services and products. And one of them was that a gentleman with $1,000 to develop a toilet for blind people. And the toilet had a handle on each side They had a toilet, had a handle on each side where the blind person held on to the toilet while they was going, while they was using the toilet. And that's the, instead of coming to the blind, I mean, they, I don't know what they thought blind people were doing all this time for going to the bathroom, but these are the kind of crazy things when you that are advocate for your community or for yourself that, you know, that you get these kind of, you get these kind of grants being given out. But that's why you have organizations now like the National Federation of the Blind, the American Council of the Blind, because those organizations have make sure that those grants are given to them, because they know what blind people need when they sit on a toilet, just a nice cushy toilet, no handles. All right.
Well, what they need in the community, period, because they have the lived experience. Well, we're going to take a station break just now, and we're going to come back over to Reverend Ray and his In the News. But right now, we want to thank our sponsor, Big Bad Wolf, a Primo pet store located in Northwest Washington, D.C. They carry raw, organic, and premium foods. If your dog needs it, they have it. They have store-to-door deliveries in the DMV, that's the District, Maryland, and Virginia. So give them a call at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. And tell them that Sight and Vision sent them, sent you. You're listening to Sight, Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Back over to Reverend Radio Ray. And In the News, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right. In the News is brought to you by Real-Time Pain Relief, the best smelling, most effective real-time pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. And I would say Real-Time Pain Relief has been our second or one of our most sponsors with us. And we want to thank Real-Time Pain Relief. And we know for people with disability, we have a lot of pains and stuff. So Real-Time Pain Relief is a great, great soother. So in the news, the good, the bad, the ugly issues that affect persons with disability and seniors, because they have a special program today, we're going to forego that because I think we're just up to March and we are April, and we got several more months to go. So, Mr. Nate, let's proceed.
All right.
We're at that half-hour point.
Exactly. Okay, well, May is Mother's Day, and women come to motherhood via birth. They can become a step mother. They could be, and by adoption. And today, on May 9th, we had two guests, Dina Lambert and Sue Bowmaster, and both came to motherhood via adoption. And we learned how they came to that decision and whether their blindness was a factor. That was one of my favorite shows, and Dina is a blind woman who chose adoption, a private adoption, and she is raising a sighted child. He's now about 2.5 years old, and Sue Bowmaster adopted a child who was born blind, and they did not know, the family was unable to take care of her. And they called Sue Bowmaster and asked her, can you take care and raise a blind child? And she jumped at the opportunity. And they shared with us the challenges, because there still are challenges as a mom who is blind. And going back to what you were saying earlier, who better to guide the education of a blind child than a blind mother who knows what that child would need. She's no longer a child. She's a young woman who lives independently and works independently. And it was one of our most heartwarming shows that we've done. And it's not about pity or any of that. It's about when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. And they certainly found a way to make lemonade. Your thoughts, Rev?
Well, you know, that was a special show for me as well because being a blind person, I was a single parent raising a daughter. I was a single person for a couple of years raising a daughter. She was 5 years old, six, seven, eight. And so I know what it was like. I know what they was going through. And I didn't adopt this my daughter. I mean, it was my biological daughter. So I knew what it was as a blind person to raise a single person to raise a child being blind and a sighted child, which both of their child was sighted, you know, what the challenges were. And I had the finance wherewithal as well as the the support and family support and friend support. And also my hat and I salute those two ladies that chose to adopt a child. And there's so many children out here that need to be adopted and need a home. And the flip side of that also, Ms. Renee, what we're dealing with in the blind community, we're actually in court and trying to get legislation where social services are trying to take children from blind parents, saying that they do not have the aptitude or the skill to be able to raise a blind child. And so we're in court with the National Federation of the Blind right now, and their lawyers are fighting and trying to get in legislation put in to deny a blind person from raising their own children.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
So this is 2022, and we're in that fight now trying to get legislation.
Wow.
And dealing with that in the courts.
Well, you know, parental rights and so much of this stuff flies under the radar, which is why we do this show, so that people can understand. We often say that disability is the one community you can join at any age, at any stage. And to have a parent's rights denied because they have a disability, it goes against everything that you think of. I hear so many stories of children who felt or were in the foster care system where there wasn't a family member who could take them. I even hear from children who were adopted and are wrestling with where do they belong, and so you add a layer onto this child of having a disability and being taken from the parent, not because they're a bad parent, because the state has decided they don't have the ability. And early on you talked about MTAP, devices that make the life of a blind, low vision person manageable. We talked about other programs, and it's why we do all of these programs. It's a layering effect so that you understand blind people are just as capable of raising a child as is a sighted person, and with the proper supports, the proper technology, can do as good a job as anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to keep up with that, with the parental rights, with that parental rights lawsuit, so that, you know, once again, don't cross your arms and say, oh, that's over in the blind community. That might not happen to me. It very well can happen to a family member or a friend of yours. So it seems so important to ally ourselves with issues that we care about, that we're passionate about. So I'll get off my soapbox now. But taking children from families because a parent is blind is, to me, it's cruel and unusual punishment. We have more laws to protect pets and dogs than we do to protect children and parental rights. So I'm going to let that one go.
Okay.
We're going to talk very, very briefly about one of our guests. Her name was Cheryl Harrison, and she lost her sight. And she started a crochet business. She was so at at her wit's end as to what she could do. And a social worker working with her and said, "Well, what did you do before you were blind?" And she said, "Well, I crocheted." And she said, "Well, why don't you crochet now?" And Cheryl shared with us that it just had never occurred to her that with her low vision that she could do that. And we won't spend a lot of time on it, but what she did is she started a business, and her business was called Sleek Designs. And she crochets all kinds of little useful things, such as water bottle holders and vests for dogs and other things. But it was something that she could do. And one of the things that I love about her her art projects is that she uses beads to spell out something in Braille. So it completes the circle. She's able to go back to crocheting what she loves, and then she's able to add the beads, which reminds people that blind people are capable, and blind people can, with assistance or without assistance, depending upon the project, can move forward. So that takes us to June, Reverend Ray. So we're almost at the 6 month mark, and the question we ask is
let me just comment on the young lady, Miss Sherry, and what I like to add to her name is entrepreneurship. She became an entrepreneur, so she is not working for somebody who's going to decide her ceiling when it comes to how much money she makes or anything. And one of the things is economics when it comes to people with disability. And most people with disability, people think of them either on SSI or SSDI, and that's the type of supplementary income from the government. And that could be anywhere from a couple of $100s to a couple of $1,000s. And for most people, it's somewhere around $700 to $800. And you cannot live on that in this country. And now people are living longer. One time we used to like, "Woo, you're 100 years old." Well, now, every day, I don't know how many people turn into 100 years old, but it's so people are living longer. And they're outliving their work capacity, where they can make money capacity. So even in the disability community, there are ways that you have to think outside the box, like she did. And I would give her, to give her award to her social worker for her to think outside the box and just not plug her into the usual things that blind people do or don't do, and that she suggested, why don't you do crocheting? So there's a lot of things that newly blind people, and she was a newly blind person. She lost her sight as an adult,
right.
And which is different from a person born blind. But there is, and here again, I go back to being part of a consumer group or national group that advocate. You get to meet other people that's doing other things, and so you don't know what out there for you to do. And so entrepreneurship is all a different vehicle that blind people and people with disability is starting to look at and become. All right.
Yeah, excellent point. Well, June bought us Amy Griffin, and we don't want to think about a loved one's eventual death or our own. And Amy Griffin, who is the president of the Association of Black, and how do you keep Big Mama's house in the family? How do you provide for a child with a disability? And how do you close the racial wealth gap? What did we learn from her, Rev?
Well, I learned a number of things from her. Because one thing is, the person with a disability, you don't think of yourself as having, well, two things. One, usually you have a PCA, a personal care attendant, or a family member that feel that, you can't think for yourself or make or manage your stuff, so they take over. And here again, that's again, you know, that's why we encourage people with disability to join groups and to learn that you can manage your own affairs and all. And then the second part of that for me is that we're not aware because we think as people with disability we don't make decisions for ourselves and manage the things that we do have. So we don't know about a state having, you know, setting up different systems and programs and stuff for your afterlife or why you're living in terms of your own estate and stuff like that. So we don't think about those kind of things. And there's a number of people, as I said again, about newly blind people, I mean newly persons with disability, that they have acquired a house, they do have a car, they do have, you know, annuities and stuff, and so they haven't thought about, you know, doing what, you know, how to handle that. So this was good to have this program to let people know about how to manage your afterlife.
Exactly. Well, you know what the music means. It means that Reverend Ray wants to pay some people, including me, so that we can get on with our show. So you are listening to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you've just joined us, we are doing a year in review. We are looking at the guests that have been on our show for the past year, the lessons that we've learned, and the information that has been so valuable. Well, Rev, that took us, that was June, and we've got to move it along. The other guest was Rev. The Lions Club. Sir, did you say something?
No. I said, yeah, we have to move it along with
yes,
10
okay.
minutes, 15
so the
minutes
Lions
to go.
Lions Club International, and the Lions Club has adopted a vision as one of their goals. The Lions Club is a non-political service organization, and in this area they work with blind and low vision, and we actually had scholarship winners on that year from the DMV area. But I want to talk a little bit about Merit Camp, one of the things that they sponsor here in the DMV. So Rev, can you give us a sentence or two about that?
Yeah, Merit Camp and what happened in 1925 of Helen Keller, which most of you all know, blind and deaf. She was invited to speak at a Lions Club event and challenge them as a service organization to take on blindness as one of their goals to serve. And in doing that, they have a Camp Merit that's in this area, Maryland area, that they provide a free week of persons that blind and vision impaired to come down and see what it's like to live in a camp situation, go swimming every day in the pool, do beat ball, which we'll talk about, a ball with a beep in it that you hit, and rock climb, and just a number of things. And they provide that once a week in August for blind persons.
No, 1 week in August, not once a week. A full week.
Oh, yeah,
they're
1 week. Yeah, a whole week. And Reverend Ray and Ms. Renee have enjoyed that week.
We have. Okay, we're in July. That's a little bit past halfway. And I'm going to take this one. The 4th of July is parades and cookouts and patriotic music. But it's also when our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor, we put him in the guest seat that month, and he talked about the day that he had lost his sight. He was a 13-year-old kid, and so he has seen it from both sides. He has seen it as a kid who watched his family cope with his new blindness. He saw it as a kid that went to a residential school to learn daily living activities and academics. And he also has seen it as an adult, which he just shared, as a parent parenting a sighted child. Did you want to add anything to that, Rev?
All I can say, Ms. Renee, 22 is going to just be another exciting year for me. I look forward to it.
Okay. Okay. So in August, we had a massage therapist come on to talk about the benefits of massage. Can you tell us a little bit about Erica McLeish and why you had her come on?
I had Erica McLeish come on because she is a totally blind female. In the beginning of being they used to call them a masseuse, now they call them a what-you-call therapist, that blind people, this was one of the things that blind people could do because it was hands-on, to learn the different parts of the body and be able to enter in this as a occupation. And so that's why I wanted to have her to come on to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we rounded out the end of August by answering the question, what's for dinner? And it is the question faced by home cooks every evening. And we had our guest, Margo Hope, come on. She's a demonstrator with Pampered Chef. And she gave us some great recipes and gave us some great tools. And I thought, for me, what was most interesting is as she began to work in the blind community, she realized that it wasn't that the tools that she offered were inaccessible to blind people, but sometimes the information and how it was delivered from the parent company. So she has become a de facto advisor to the company, reminding them that when there's just music playing, that a blind or low-vision person cannot understand the video as it is advertising the product. So that's been good for her. It's been good for the blind and low-vision community. And we're not going to talk a little bit much about her right now because she'll back up in November. September, we took time off. We were able to benefit from some of that estate planning that had been told. Reverend Ray lost his sister, and we took the time off to go and take care of some of her affairs. And in the next year, you will be hearing more about estate planning for people who don't have estates. At least you don't think you have estates. But there are many ways of avoiding paying taxes and many ways of being certain that a child with a disability or a person with a disability is not left broken, and that their monies can outlive them, and if they have a home, how they can pass it on to their family. So in October, it was White Cane Safety Awareness Day.
Let me go back and insert one word: avoid legally.
Yes, thank you, Rev.
legally avoid paying taxes.
And wait, the rich and famous have learned to do it for a long time, and now we littles are learning. Okay.
Yes,
October was White Cane Safety Awareness Day, and we had on the Road Warrior. Rev, why do we need White Cane Safety Awareness Day?
That's because for the blind community, when people would see this white cane, they didn't know what it was for. And so we had to come up with a campaign and a somewhat of a movement to let people know the white cane that you see is because a blind person is behind that cane, and you need to be mindful of that person, that they just not walking around with a cane, but that it's a safety issue as well as a blind person being able to utilize it for their travel purposes. And the fascinating thing about that is that the warrior, Ron Brown from Indiana, he is a blind individual, and that's a new technique that blind mobility teachers, which we call them, started like maybe 10 years ago. So it was a recent case of a blind person teaching another blind person how to use a cane to travel from place to place in their transportation throughout the city.
Yes, actually. And that's why he said it doesn't matter what city he's in, he can teach cane travel because the techniques are universal. Well, that sends us around to November, and food defines a lot of holidays, none more so than Thanksgiving. And so, you know, at Thanksgiving, we expect to cook like grandma and to bake like your auntie. And our guest, Margot Hope, came on and told us how to utilize some time-saving tools that are in the Pampered Chef book and in their catalog that's available. And I just want to say personally that the onion chopper is the bomb. If you are making dressing and you have all those onions to chop, it is a wonderful tool. And she spent the time showing us how to use the tools. She did not reveal any secret recipes, but said that if you got grandma's recipe, she can help you get it on the table in the best way possible. And at the end of November, we had one
Ms. Renee, let me comment on Ms. Margot that also a number of her devices, tools that we use products, but one of also that I love that we use now, we don't have to spend all day cooking corn, ears of corn. There has some bowls that you could just make it very easy to cook the corn in the oven, and the corn, ears of corn come out wonderfully, wonderfully done.
It does. Yeah, in the microwave, absolutely. Well, November was Oneness Mobility, and we like to introduce Bob Alford as the master of modifications, the sultan of the swivel seat, and the honcho of hydraulics, and the wizard of whatever. Rev, why is transportation and modified transportation so important in the blind, low vision, and disability and senior communities?
Well, you know, unfortunately, because of COVID, that had cut down a lot of people meeting in person and getting around. But in the blind community and disability community, transportation to go to various places for social, for personal business, for medical, special medical, it's just so, so important. And a lot of times people, again, like I was mentioning about having the kind of finances, and I was talking about entrepreneurship, is that we have limited finances, and so we don't own a car. We don't own, can't afford getting a taxi cab for $15, $20, $30, and special persons like on dialysis, you know, that they go three times a week for dialysis, and you figure what it costs them round trip and what that costs a week and what that costs a month. So transportation, here again, as a, you know, being advocating for yourself, not only to get the proper type of transportation, to be able to come pick you up, and when I say proper, I mean in terms of physical, to be able to get into the vehicle, that the vehicle is comfortable and all, and then being able to have a system to take you from different places, because every place, if you live in the suburbs, that's a different type of challenge. If you live in the city, it's a different challenge. So transportation for the disability community, I would say not just next to number one, which is housing, is probably, 1B. And housing might be 1A, and that might be 1B, and then medical might be one between 1A and B. So that's very important in the top five concerns for people with disability.
Okay. Well, we've run out of time, but we've got to squeeze in. A canoe-like vessel was seen on the Potomac River in Washington, D.C., and people weren't sure what it was. It had a dragon head and a tail. It's a dragon boat, and it's part of the ancient sport of dragon boat racing, And we had two guests on, Eric Pfeiffer and Simon Henson-Jones, and they talked about the Dragon, the D.C. Dragon Boat Club, and they are going to the Nationals to compete this year in Sarasota, Florida. But what I want to emphasize is that it's a sport that blind and sighted athletes can compete on equal footing. Rev, tell us a little bit about your experience as a dragon boat paddler, what it was, and why it is so satisfying to be able to compete equally with sighted and low vision paddlers.
Well, a couple of things. One, to be able to work, and it's a team of 10 persons. It's a team. It's 10 teams, and it's two persons a team, so it's 20 persons in the canoe. And then, and for the blind people, we have what we call a drummer that beats and keep cadence for us, and then we have a person that handles the steering the rudder. And but the coordination of working with 19 other people, tetanus, being on the water, which is soothing and wonderful, it's just a joy to be able to compete and have those different elements to be part of an experience for one's life. And me and Ms. Renee, I had the opportunity to be one of the childhood members of doing this, and I just thoroughly enjoyed it and look to support it.
Well, Rev, you know what that music means?
That's the music.
Go ahead, Rev.
Go ahead. We're going to close out with.
We're going to close out with our music, and we want to remind our listeners that they have been listening to Sight and Vision, Disability, and Senior Talk Radio, and that if you want to hear the complete shows that we reference, there is we have it on our website, and that's smbradio.com, and we will have a list of all the shows so you can listen to them in their fullness. Rev, you have anything else you want to say to our listeners before we close out?
Well, I want to say in 2022, you have heard of what people in the disability community are making a difference, but you have to be involved. You have to be involved. So, you know, so I make this challenge to you. Maybe you'll be one of our guests to come on and talk about what you're doing to make a difference in the disability community. So make a difference. And as we always close with our call to action, you know, you might can't fly, but you can run. You might can't run, but you can walk. And if you can't walk, just crawl, but just keep moving. Do something. That's what I want to add, Mr. Matt.
All right,
man.
You have been listening to Sight, Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio. Have an idea for a show? Contact us in all the usual ways. Email us at smbradioshow@gmail.com. Those are the letters S is in Sam, N is in Nancy, V is in Victor, radioshow@gmail.com. Or give us a call at 301-377-6468. That's 301-377-6468. And if you want to listen to this show again or to a past show, type in the address bar, smbradio.com, all together, smbradio.com. We want to thank you for listening. We want to thank you for joining us for 2022. And look for us next week at 3:00 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.